Lord, thank you for today, and as we come to you now, we do lay before you all of our thoughts, our needs, our joys, our sorrows, everything that is on our heart. Lord, we want to just lay that before you now as we come together to worship. Lord, thank you for each one who's here. Be with those who might be traveling, those who may be sick or under the weather today. We just lift them up to you, Lord. Many, many needs there as well. We love you and thank you now, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm Kevin Bennett. I think I still work for Crossroads Church. Me and Libby just took some time off. That was good. It was refreshing. I love this song, Jason. I love all your songs and what your band does for us. I love this song. This is one of Libby's favorite songs, too. And there's a point in there where you clap. One, you know, right? I heard somebody over here, and I heard somebody over here. That was me. We got to get up. Hey, Jason, next time we'll get up here and tell them where they need to clap that out, okay?
I'll let you do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we better pray about that, brother. My ability to keep time in music is about as good as my singing the song. So it is good to be back with you folks. It really is. So thank you for being here. Publishing history was made in the unauthorized biography of Nancy Reagan. Y'all remember Nancy Reagan, President Reagan's wife, dear sweet lady? That book that was publicized or was published, the unauthorized biography, sold 950,000 copies in the first week. Never had a book sold that many copies in its first week. Kitty Kelly dug up all the dirt and scandal she could find to discredit the First Lady. Now, I'm not here to argue for or against it. I personally don't care. But I find it fascinating. What interests me is 1 million people would buy a book that's full of bad news about someone else. Why? What is it in human nature that makes us feel better when we can bring people who are well known down? What is it in human nature that we feel better about ourselves when we recognize other people's faults or poor choices that are made publicly? You can summarize it in one word, and that's the word envy. Envy provides the mud that failures throw at success. If you make your mark in the world, somebody's going to follow you around with an eraser trying to get rid of all of it because they're envious of you. We've been in a series that I've been doing called Building Great Relationships. This is the fourth message in this series. If you want to catch up, you can go to the Crossroads website, and they have the messages online there. So this is part four of Building Great Relationships, and today we're going to be talking about reducing rivalry in relationships. If you want to have good relationships, you've got to get rid of the rivalry. You've got to get rid of the jealousy. You've got to get rid of the envy. We're taking this series from 1 Corinthians 13, and in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, love does not what? Envy. Now, if you have your outline, you can follow along with us. First of all, what is envy? Envy is a little bit different than jealousy. Jealousy says, I want what you have. Envy says, I not only want what you have, but I want you to lose what you have. Not only do I want my grass to be greener, I want your grass to turn brown. That's being envious. Envy can show up in any kind of relationship. In the family, absolutely. The Bible's full of examples of sibling rivalry. Jacob and Esau, Cain and Abel, Rachel and Leah, Joseph and his brothers. There is certainly envy in families. Work, professional jealousy. Salesmen envy other salesmen. Doctors envy other doctors. Vice presidents envy other vice presidents. Secretaries envy other secretaries. There's envy at work. School, you think there's envy at school? the first day of school anywhere in America, there will be tens of thousands of students comparing clothes, boyfriends, girlfriends, cars, grades, athletic ability, on and on and on. Can you have envy among friends? Absolutely. We live in a very competitive world. We're all touched by envy. The whole advertising business is built on creating envy. If you buy our product, you'll be the envy of everybody else. If you do this, if you have this, everyone will envy you, and we buy into that. So the first part of this message, I want to talk about how envy ruins relationships. Just a few points, and then I want to end the message with ways you can make sure that doesn't happen. All right? So, number one, how envy ruins relationships. The Bible says there are three things that envy can do in relationships. Number one, envy causes conflict. It causes conflict. In James 4, verse 1, he says, "What causes conflicts, fights, and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Conflict, he says, come from your inner desires. Did you ever play the game growing up, King of the Hill? We did. Me and my friends, my brother, we'd go up to the elementary school, and there was a pile of dirt. And we'd run up, and the first person got up there, it was King of the Hill, right? And what's the purpose? What's the goal of the game? That you knock that King of the Hill off so you can be King of the Hill, right? Oh man, we had everything but broken arms when we played. We were serious about it. We wanted to be the ones on top. Now, adults still play this game, but we know better than to literally play it on top of the hill. We would break our everything. We do it more subtly now. Hey, notice the kind of car I'm driving. How you like this jewelry I'm wearing? My kids are smarter than yours. Look at the color of my credit card. It causes conflict. Envy ruins relationships by causing conflict between people. Number two, it kindles resentment. It kindles resentment. Titus 3, verse 5. Our lives were full of resentment and envy. We hated others, and they hated us. Envy is the shortest road to resentment. It always causes bitterness. We resent other people because we're envious of their success. Hey, I should have gotten that promotion, not them. We resent other people's wealth. Who do they think they are living in a house like that? I wish I had something like that. We envy other people's achievements. We envy other people's beauty. You can even envy other people's spirituality. How come they're so spiritual? How come it just looks like God is just blessing them and he's not blessing me and my family? What's going on here? That's not fair. Envy leads to resentfulness. And number three, well, look at James 3:16. For where you find envy, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Circle the word every. He says if you're green with envy, you're ripe for trouble. Envy leads to other sins. It can lead to gossip. It can lead to murder, stealing. Joseph's brothers in the Old Testament envied him and they sold him into slavery. They literally wanted him dead. When Saul envied David, he tried to kill him. Envy kindles absolute resentment. And number three, envy makes me miserable. It makes me miserable. If you've ever been envious, you know this by experience. Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy is to your soul what cancer is to your body. It will literally eat you alive. It will torment you, and eventually it will consume you. When you become envious, it feeds on resentment. It gets bigger and bigger until you're so obsessed with your competition, you can't see straight. It can lead you into becoming bitter, angry, depressed. It will literally make your life miserable. You won't be happy again as long as you have envy in your life. So, that's the downside of the message. Let's get positive now. How do you overcome envy in relationships? How can you position yourself so when you're tempted to become envious, you choose not to go down that road, but to go down the road that God wants you to go down that doesn't include envy and jealousy? So, how to overcome envy in relationships? Number one, you need to begin to resist comparing yourself to others. Folks, it starts here. We're going to talk a little more about this in a few, but you've got to do this. It's not like you don't have control over what you think. It's not like you can't control changing the process your mind goes through to come to a conclusion. You can change it by the Holy Spirit of God to give you power and wisdom. He'll put people in your path to help you. But you've got to resist comparing yourself to others. Envy starts by comparing others to us. If you don't compare, you're not going to get envious. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:12. Paul said this. We do not dare classify or compare ourselves. They are not wise. Don't classify, don't compare yourself or others. Has this ever happened to you? When I was a kid, I remember my dad got me a bicycle for Christmas, and it was one of those Stingray bikes with big wide handlebars and a banana seat, right? And mine was red glitter. I might get beat up for riding a bike like that today, but it was cool back then. And I got on my bike. I was so proud. I was riding down my alley to go show some of my friends that lived down the other end of the alley. And when I got down there, there were some kids around this other kid, and they were kind of circling them around. I wondered what they were looking like, and they moved away when I got there. And that kid had a bike better than mine. And all of a sudden, what I thought was the best bike in town was now relegated because I was comparing what I had to what he had. I got on my bike and I rode back home. Kind of stupid, wasn't it? But I was a kid. It's stupid when adults do that. And we do. We do. Nothing deprecates anything in your life as fast as envy. So don't compare yourself. You remember the commercial, we're dating ourselves here, but that's okay. You remember the commercial by Kenelration? Remember the Kenelration dog food? Oh, please tell me, I'm not the only one. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Two of us, three of us. Really? You guys don't remember Kenelration dog food? Okay, thank you. Because if you don't, I'm just wasting my breath here. Kenelration dog food, one of their taglines in their advertisement says, "My dog's better than your dog." Remember that? Oh, now we get it, yeah. My dog's better than your... No. Listen, folks. As adults, we still do that. We just do it in a more subtle way. My car is better than your car. My house is bigger than your house. My painting is more valuable than your painting. My career has more status than your career. My wife is more beautiful than your wife. My kid's better at school than yours is. My kid's better at sports than yours are. And we do this. You know we do it. You do it. And God says, you can't compare. You've got to resist this comparison. God says it's dumb, actually. Look at Galatians 6:4. Let everyone be sure to do his or her very best, for then he will have the personal satisfaction of work done well and won't need to compare himself with someone else. You don't need to compare yourself to others, just do your best. That's where satisfaction comes from. You don't measure your worth by anyone else. You do what God has called you to do, what He's gifted you to do. You give it your best effort. You give it your best shot. Whether you do well or don't do well at it, you gave it your best, and that's all you need. There's no need to take that and compare it to somebody else. Listen, folks, there's always going to be somebody better than you. Always. So what? There are better preachers than me. Fine, I know that. I listen to them. I don't care. I'm doing the best I can do, right? How many of you like Jason and his band? You got to, oh man, you did awesome. Hey, Jason, are there church bands and singers better than what you guys are? Does it, oh, yes, there. There are preachers better than me, but no singers and... Jeez. I don't know where I am. There's always somebody better. Don't compare. God didn't call you to be better than everybody else. He called you and gifted you to do what He wants you to do. You give it your best, and that's all that matters. And when you give it your best, and you do your best, and you follow God, and you obey Him, and you love Him, and He looks at you and says, well done. Well done. You've done good. That's all that matters. Let everyone do their best. Don't compare. Do your best. That's where satisfaction comes from. Folks, envy really is a choice. Anytime you're envious, you're choosing to be envious. You're making yourself miserable, but it's your choice. You're choosing to compare yourself to others, and God says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't compare. All right? Just stop it. No need. And if you really can get to a point where you stop, just you choose not to do that anymore, you are going to be more free, more happy, more at peace than you've ever been. The only one you have to give an account to is God. All right? You do what God wants you to do, the way He wants you to do it, and don't compare yourself to others. Secondly, in the process of doing that, hopefully you'll come to realize your uniqueness. You'll realize your uniqueness. Apparently Jason and his band's real unique. Because envy, folks, really, envy is an expression of inferiority. When I'm insecure, I get envious. Envy is always caused by a sense of low self-esteem. Always. That's the problem. When I have a low sense of self-esteem, I feel threatened by people who are more beautiful, who are better dressed, who have more status, who have more education, who have more charisma. God says, don't do it. Recognize your uniqueness. So how do you deal with your insecurity? The Bible says to see yourself as God sees you. Psalm 139, verse 13 says this. You, God, created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. God says, I created you. I am the one who put you together. You have designer genes. Did you know that? Your genes are unlike anyone else's in the world. There's nobody else that will ever be like you, so why compare yourself to somebody else? You're different. You are unique. When you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like Moses, or why weren't you more like David, or why weren't you more like Billy Graham? He's not going to ask you that question. He's going to ask you, why weren't you more like the person I created you to be? If you don't be you, who's going to be you? There's no need to copy somebody else. You need to quit imitating other people and their lifestyle. Quit trying to be somebody you're not. God made you to be you. That's where satisfaction and meaning and purpose and fulfillment comes from. If God has a plan, and if I'm unique, that means that everyone is a 10 in some area. Due to your makeup, your genes, your background, your temperament, your education, your experiences, you are unique. You're a 10. Not in everything, but in one area at the very least. And when you find that area, you start working in that area, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, you're going to do your best, and you just go on with life. Somebody says, hey, I'm not, you know, you're not doing so well. Listen, you need to have people that you love, that you trust. You surround your people, yourself with those people. There should be at least two or three. Yeah, it's not a whole crowd, I guarantee you. Two or three people you trust. And if they're critical of you, if they're giving you feedback, you listen to them. That doesn't defeat your uniqueness. But everybody else who's out there saying, look at them, look what they've done, look what they haven't done, look how they... Who cares? Who cares? Sometimes we do. Stop. It's one of my favorite phrases. If I assess something and I realize I haven't done anything wrong, I've been doing good things right, and people are talking out here, Libby could tell you what my favorite phrase is. I don't care. I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm not saying that like I'm better than somebody. But if people have nothing else better to do than to talk out there about me or what we're... I don't care. I make sure I'm squared away with God. I have people in my life to keep me in check. And beyond that, guess what? I don't care. Well, think about it. Think about Jesus. How many times were the Sadducees and Pharisees getting all over him, telling him how he was wrong, he was doing things improperly, he shouldn't have done this on a Sabbath day? Jesus didn't get caught up in that. I don't care what you think. Here's the truth. I don't care. I'm going on. Recognize your uniqueness. There's no need for you to envy anyone. Just become all of whom God wants you to be. Number three, rejoice in what I have. In order to overcome envy in relationships, you need to rejoice in what you have. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, it's better to be satisfied with what you have than to always be wanting something else. Instead of focusing on what I don't have, you need to be grateful for what you do have. Americans have a desire to acquire that is at times... I graduated in December, which means I actually moved away from the seminary in January. Can you imagine January in Ohio? I'm going to tell you, if you've never been there, you can't. I grew up in Baltimore where we had snow every winter. I mean, it was cold, not like Ohio. I talked with a church in Ohio, and I think the pulpit committee fudged things. I wound up taking the position, went up to Ohio in January. I have never felt such blistering cold weather in my entire life. I mean, I'd step out of my car, out of the door, and I'd be like, just freezing. When I got there, I realized that what I thought I was going to get paid, I wasn't getting paid. They barely paid me enough to feed my family. I had to put my monthly expenses on my own credit card just to pay for a place to live, to pay for my gas in my car. Every month, I'm going into debt just to serve that church. And I'm like, God, I didn't study this in seminary. And the thing that got me was I had a lot of friends who were going to nice churches in the Southeast, where they had churches who were paying them good salaries with benefits. Now, I am set up and poised for what? To become envious. Wouldn't you? And I'm beginning to get mad at God, honestly. How come they got to do all that? And I'm up here. I'm up here in Ohio in January. I had to change my attitude pretty quick and realize, for whatever reasons, and I learned a lot from that first church experience, but I was still in the business of serving God by serving others. No matter where I was, no matter what I had and didn't have, I needed to refocus myself on pleasing God, not on being pleased. Matter of fact, look at Colossians 3:2. The Bible says that we are to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. We're to look at things from God's viewpoint. Recognize that material things are all temporary. They're not going to last. Refocus on the things that are going to matter. Things that are going to last in your life for eternity. Things that are going to count forever. Like loving, knowing, and serving God and others. Proverbs 23:17. Look at that verse. Don't be envious of sinful people. Let reverence for the Lord be the concern for your life. If it is, you will have a bright future. Have you all ever seen this gentleman here? Look at this picture. You see that guy? Don't recognize him? He's not from Ohio. This guy is a gentleman by the name of Gunpei Yokoi. In 1965, Gunpei Yokoi began working at Nintendo. He was a janitor. He had a work closet where he kept his sink, his mops were there, his brooms, his glass cleaner, his rags, his trash bags, his mop bucket, and push cart, all located right there in his office. It was a respectable job, a good job, and he was good at it. He took his job seriously, and he did a great job for Nintendo, cleaning the halls, the offices, the restrooms. When he was there on the job, and he had a little break, a 30-minute lunch break, Yokoi liked tinkering with toys. Anybody here like to tinker? The last thing I tinkered with was Libby's favorite lamp at our house, and now it sits in my office room in 27 different pieces. She won't let me tinker anymore. While doing his janitorial task, Mr. Yokoi watched other people tinker, except they were tinkering and getting paid for it. A salary 5-10 times what he was making. They were laughing, having fun, taking breaks down there where they got coffee. But Mr. Yokoi was in his little closet. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been really tempted at that point to feel very jealous, because Mr. Yokoi was a smart man. And these people were living the good life when he was just getting by. But eventually, he didn't get envious. He made friends of all of those people. He was a very humble guy, very nice guy. He never got envious, never got jealous. He did his job. And eventually, his tinkering and his non-envious attitude paid off. Because in 1982, Gunpei Yokoi filed for the patent for the Nintendo Game Boy. Yes, he did. which has sold 120 million units. He got an office. Matter of fact, he was asked to lead the research and development team with Nintendo. Now, had he become jealous, had he become envious at all those people where he worked while he was still doing janitorial work, he might have missed the opportunity of a lifetime. But he knew what his gifts and talents and strengths were. He focused on them. He was happy for the other people who were doing well, and he just waited for his opportunity. And he done good. Now, Crossroads and Calvary Church want to help you build great relationships, to love each other healthfully, to be patient and kind, and to overcome envy. You want healthy relationships? Learn to leave envy at the door. Learn to be content. Be happy with what God has given you. Rejoice with others in their blessings. And just watch your relationships grow. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you for giving us relationships. It's how you created us. But ever since the world was broken because sin entered the world, we sometimes get jealous and envious and selfish in our relationships. We envy what other people have, what other people do, what other people are. And that does nothing but ruin a relationship. So God, we pray that you will teach us to love others unconditionally, to be happy with who you've created us to be, where you've called us to work and live, and what you've called us to do, that we will be able to rejoice with others who are making successes of their lives. We will be happy with them, not jealous of them. Help us to be content, Lord. Help us not to care, not to worry about what other people think or say. May our main focus only and always be on what you want us to do, want us to be, where you want us to go. So bless us now, Lord, as we come to this time of response and decision. Maybe there are some ways you spoke to us today that we need to say, okay, God, I'm going to place this in your hands. God, I want you to take this away from me. God, I want you to help me grow in this area. God, I need to go to somebody and tell them I'm sorry because I've been jealous. Whatever response you have for us, God, we pray that you'll guide us through it. Strengthen us. Change us. Is our hope and our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother, my first church was in Michigan.
I don't think Ohio's cold.
I don't care. What I'm concerned about is you're back there looking up kennel ration when I'm preaching my heart out.
You inspired me.
Oh.
Evidently, he doesn't care either.
Now, and I did, for the record, want to apologize. I think Jason and his group are the best ones in the whole world all the time. I love you, brother. Pray for yourself.
Let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Here we go.
Lord, thank you for the fun that we have right here. We can smile and enjoy our time of worship. And Lord, at the same time, there's a challenge for us not to compare ourselves, not to be envious of others, but to know that we are who you created. And you don't make junk. You've made us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for watching over us. Send us out now. Help us to go into this world this week to make a difference for you. In Jesus' name, amen.